G'day everyone, Ian here. I haven't been on Audio Boo for a long time. Frankly, I'm uninspired by it. I feel like there's such a disconnect from the community and from what's going on. And I blame Audio Boo. I blame the company. It's just shit. And frankly, in months, I haven't used the app in months. And I go to use the app just then. And it's broken. It won't even open. The only message I got was, try deleting the app and reinstalling. Well, I'm not going to do that quite yet. I'll do that when I get home. But I'm now recording this in my road rec recorder that I've got on my phone. I don't have a spoffle on, so there might be a bit of wind around. And it might disturb the microphone. Sorry about that, everybody. But I just thought I'd drop in and say hello. Hello. And respond to one top gold, Bernie Goldbuck. He did an Audio Boo, which I listened to just before I got out. I've come out for a bit of a walk. It's a beautiful, warm evening, which in itself is a contradiction because it's mid-July, the coldest month of the year. We're deep in the middle of winter and it's freaking balmy, and it's wrong on so many levels. It was 29 degrees today in the middle of friggin' winter. Yeah, we have beautiful winter's days here, and I'm speaking to the Poms out there, but you know, it should be 4, 5, 6 degrees in the morning and maybe get up to 18, 19, 20 degrees during the day. That's okay. That's a winter's day for us. You know, some days could be only go up to 10 degrees, 12 degrees, but 29 degrees? That's just wrong. Like, I'm in shorts and t-shirt, there's a bit of a breeze blowing, almost feels like there could be a storm coming, but there is none. Maybe there's a change. I know it's cold down south. Caroline's down in Melbourne at the moment, it's only 7 degrees down there. But it's just covering the microphone, trying to hope that there isn't too much wind noise. But yeah, it's spookily warm, far, far too warm. This climate change thing is really starting to hit, I think. Anyway, Bernie was talking, that's the reason I got on the recorder right now, about the bubble, the echo chamber that we all find ourselves in when we're listening to that content that Facebook and Google and everything else feeds up to us, whether it's because we click the like button and follow certain people on Twitter we like, or whether it's because the algorithms say, oh, you showed a bit of interest in camping gear, so we're going to serve you more camping gear. Whatever it is, there's this echo chamber effect that is I think it's a really, really serious problem. Our local tabloid newspaper here, which used to be a broadsheet, which used to be a half-decent paper, it's a Murdoch paper, but it's now a tabloid. It's shit, absolute shit newspaper. It's called the Courier Mail. But the thing about it is, if that was the only news you ever got, you had to put up with the good and the bad, the offensive and the decent. The trouble with my feed is it's all really decent. It's interesting. It's all about science. It's about fairness. It's about a bit of Buddhism. It's about, you know, sharing the world and caring about the planet and caring about those around you. And it's a friggin' left-wing nut job echo chamber. And I know there are people out there because I've got just a couple of Facebook friends and the like. One's a relative, a couple of friends who are anti-Islamist, card-carrying, flag-waving, patriotic, don't take no shit from those people who aren't Australian nutjobs. And it's really good to see them. One fella fell out of my feed. I don't know what happened to him, but the other three are still there. And it's really good to have them there because they freaking irritate the bejesus out of me, and it's really good for me to see it. I don't like seeing it. Can't say I get any pleasure out of it, but it's healthy for me to know what other people are thinking. Some people say, know your enemy. Bernie said that, actually. A little bit of know your enemy. And there is something in that. But, you know, there's something else that goes on. And this is what's happened to me in recent years. I've been... One of my personality failings is that I get exuberant. I get excited when somebody's talking to me, and I can easily jump in over the top of what they're saying to put across my points. It's a very, very bad habit. I'm aware of it most of the time, and I can keep it constrained. It's a bit like herding cats, unfortunately. It's a little bit hard when I'm not conscious, when I'm not being mindful, it can run away on me. But if I remember to bite my friggin' tongue and just listen to what people are saying, especially if I don't agree with them, I'm constantly shocked at how often I learn something. Sometimes I'd actually learn that my opinion, though maybe not absolutely wrong, can certainly do with a bit of a modification. And it's the thing that I've learned the most by biting my tongue and asking engaging questions that draw people out. Like, why do you feel that people of a certain ethnicity are dangerous or inappropriate or don't fit in, or pick your genre? And what happens is, I've learnt, most of the time they're wrong, but what I've learnt is their ability to perceive the world is different to mine. My mother made mention of the fact there was Somalis people who have settled in Toowoomba, where she lives. And these people, they look obviously different. They're very, very, very dark-skinned. And this is a white-bred, white, Christian country town. So anybody with even olive complexion, Mediterranean complexion, they stand out. But somebody who is as black as the ace of spades from Somalia just jump out at you. And I learnt talking to my mother that the reason she made mention of it is because they associate in their clan groups, the people who they know, and they're so different, they jump out. So she couldn't help but make mention of the fact that they hang out together. And she made assumptions that they were getting up to mischief. They weren't. But she had this bite-sized view of the world. And it was good for me not to go in and just automatically defend their case, but to listen to her and to find out where she was coming from, because it was insightful. Another friend of mine who is very anti-Islamist, if I stop and listen to him, I realise that part of the reason is he's scared. He's a very elderly gentleman. He's frail. And frankly, he has no ability to defend himself. If things were going bad, he would really struggle to survive. And that makes him very wary, very fearful. And he's a card-carrying atheist, which is fine. So he's constantly finding points to make assertions that religion is bad. And he finds the very worst of some of the behaviour of the Mohammedans in the way that they have child marriage. Some of them have child marriages and the more extreme stuff. And the way they treat certain treat women and animals, with halal slaughter, some of the bad stuff. Not the vast majority of Muslim people, but just, a subsect. And he actually picks on them. He also picks on all the religions, which is fine in that sense that he's quite balanced. But he's just scared. He's an old, old man, and he has some fragility in his ability to be able to deal with stuff if things went down. And that's caused me to have great compassion for him, because now I perceive what he fears and his worldview and the fact that once he was a strong, young, strapping lad who could look after himself, but maybe that's not the case anymore. And it's given me compassion. I still believe he's wrong, fundamentally wrong in his bigotry, but I have more of an understanding of where he's coming from. Don't bludgeon him with my thoughts and opinions, but be a little bit more gentle, understanding where he's coming from.